pick a microphone, right?
It worked out in the end. I think we made it here. Excellent times, head by all. Mike and I learned a little bit of the technical side of the Rumble. That was good.
Always growing, always learning, you know?
Mike, let's get a touchdown now. On the,
touchdown?
Oh,
never
yeah.
Moves. How's that? I'm at like a 2.
Perfect.
All right.
Maybe I'm...
Oh, you know what it is? It's because during all that, I turned my output up. Is that why it sounds like it's screaming?
Yeah, you typically do come through screaming.
Yeah, what about now? Is that a little better?
A little bit better, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Look at that. All right.
We're learning. Should I do a touch more?
Each day is a process in the right step or direction.
How about that? Is that good?
I think you're there, yeah.
All right. We're learning.
We'll get there. I still got the crawl going underneath, so everybody right. knows what they're getting down with. Happy Sunday, everyone. Mike, did you catch the Kentucky Derby yesterday?
I didn't. What the fuck? Why is everybody? No, I didn't. Because I don't care about Kentucky Derby. Why is it now? This year seems to be every person's talking about it and asking me about it.
I think it's because white supremacy is making a comeback, actually. Yeah, people are, you know, we were bashing whitey for so many years. Now we're back, man.
All the robberies and the gang street takeovers. Yeah, the days of the big flowery hat doesn't look so bad, you know?
Some of these people, I mean, the outfits are ridiculous. Emma and I decided to take a trip down to the most supreme white town in America, that is Boulder, Colorado, and we paid some visits to our favorite watering holes. There's basically 2 dive bars left in Boulder. Nobody else can afford to be there at this point. We went down to our favorite place, the Dark Horse, for a quick burger. One of the best burgers still, Colorado. And the young lady behind the bar kept, you know, saying, "What's with everybody asking about the Kentucky Derby?" You know, I'm like, "Well, it's today." You know, she goes, "Oh man, what time is it at?" And we were all debating the time that the race was starting, and you'd be hard-pressed to figure it out because coverage of the Kentucky Derby began at noon, and it went till 5 p.m.
On a Saturday?
And the race is 2 minutes long, and it happened somewhere between those 5 hours.
What? Wait a minute. There's only one race?
There's one race. Well, they do a bunch of other races. So we ended up going to another place downtown on Pearl Street, the old pub down there. And a lot of horse racing fanatics were in attendance, and we ended up watching all the other races going on. You know, we had the horse racing channel up on the TV there. So there was several hours of betting and money loss occurring before the actual main race.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was fun. Yeah.
That's a weird thing where, like, you know, 362 days out of the year, you're just like this old, fat, greasy degenerate in a dark, smoky room behind a bar. But then those 3 days out of the year, there's like 3 races where like everybody comes out of the woodworks and they're like, "No, it's cool to bet on horses." go to the track. You know what I mean?
Well, also, and this is kind of what I was chatting a lot about with some of the spectators in the bar there. Which is, you know, these jockeys got to be in fantastic shape to, like, sit. They're, like, standing but in a crouched squat position for that full 2 minutes. Like, you know, smacking the horse on the ass to get him moving. Like, you actually got to be in some fantastic shape, I think, to be able to pull that kind of feat off. You know
what? The horse is doing most of the work, though.
No fat. You're not seeing any fat jockeys, though.
Oh, good call. Or tall.
Right. No, everybody was big on the shortness, but I was big more on the fitness, right? And you're not getting, you know, baseball still is maybe the last bastion of the fat athlete because you still get the, Bartolo Colons out there. You know, the guy's pushing 300 pounds, but they're streaming down 100-mile-an-hour fastball, so nobody cares how fat this guy is, right?
Yeah, football, too. You still got the fatties.
Could still be a fatty in football, yeah.
the linemen.
Definitely, yeah, man. But now, but I was watching these jockeys, man, and I was impressed by the physique and how they probably have to hit the gym and do a lot of squats and be able to hold that position and be physically holding onto the horse and, you know, engaging the animal and racing. And these guys, they, you know, they're going at it. But one of my buddies there, the Snake, was with me, and we were observing how the game or the race itself would have a lot more intrigue or maybe a higher entertainment value if the jockeys were able to, like, kind of knock onto each other and try to push each other off the horses.
Yes.
Like, remember the old Road Rash game?
Oh, I was just thinking that. Fuck yeah. That's exactly how it should be. There should be, like, strategically placed, you know, like tire irons.
Yes.
Around the,
like the chain.
Hockey sticks.
Yeah,
chain.
Dude. The guy, like, leaps. He, like, kind of, like, reaches down below the horse and pulls out the chain and whips the guy in front of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be.
All right. I got a special delivery. Little connoisseur marijuanas. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's how we do it around here. Mike, I'm living the high life, the white supremacy lifestyle, my man. You know, I'm drinking my craft beer. Look at that. I got my craft stout beer. I'm smoking my craft marijuana. And I just got back from a weekend down in Boulder, Colorado, where we hung out in the sunshine and, you know, watched horse racing and bet hundreds of dollars without a care in the world.
Sounds like you're getting ready to hang a black guy later. I mean, yeah.
That's the end of the show. Thanks, folks. Yeah, man. Living
this guy own a plantation? What's going on,
man? I'm living the MAGA life over here. I got Marjorie Taylor Greene online, actually. She's going to join us. And
and Lauren Boebert.
That's right.
Me and her later for dinner.
She's going to take me to a show later. Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. But
it's good to be privileged, you know?
That's right, living the privileged life. But either way, it was a great time had by all. Got to see a lot of old folks at the old bar and the Derby itself, the 150th Kentucky Derby. It was a photo finish, man. Really exciting stuff. I bet for both Emma and I on two different brackets. Lost all my money.
Of course.
Of course. But here's the best part. We were at an old bar that I used to work at, and a bartender that was getting completely harassed and destroyed by the influx of patrons there to, you know, get intoxicated and watch these horses race for 90 seconds. He won one of the pools. He won like $400.
Nice.
Yes.
Good for him.
Everybody was overjoyed with the fact that one of the winners in the room was the guy getting his ass worked for the entire time that we were there to have a good time. So, you know, there's some karma in the universe, right? It made me very happy at the end of the day. Even though I lost, I lamented that for a moment, and then I was, you know, enjoyed, if you will, by the fact that my friend won behind the bar, and everybody continued drinking, and we forgot about the race. And then, of course, the Nuggets came on TV, the favorite team in the league to win the championship, and they lost, of course. So, yeah, you know.
I can't believe the most amazing thing of that whole story is they were on TV.
The first time I've seen them, actually.
I still don't think they exist, honestly.
Yeah, no, nobody's got the uniforms on, right? We see a lot of people rocking the Avs uniforms because we got the Avalanche in the playoffs as well. A lot of playoff sport action going on out here, man. So, yeah, that was
Denver's time.
Denver's having a moment, I guess, right?
You know?
We got to pay for these migrants one way or another.
Yeah, try to bring people back to the city.
Well, we got a new idea. Like, first of all, Denver's announced this year we're defunding the police and the firefighters in order to pay an extra $90 million into this migrant crisis here. But now they're really floating the serious concepts, and this is very reminiscent of the Kennedy era, folks. You know, what can you do for your country, right?
Ask not what your country can do.
Well, Mike Johnson now is asking you, homeowner, taxpayer, to bring in some migrants to live in your house. Come on! Mike, it's as simple as a phone call.
And what could go wrong? You just bring 3-4 migrant families, have them in your basement cooking and everything, and when they burn your house down, don't worry, there's no fire department. Or if they rob you, there's no cops.
Now, this is perfect for all you liberals out there who love Hamas these days. We're shipping them over from Gaza. They could go right to your house, man. You could create up a little, give them a little space in the garage to build some bombs, right? You know, improvised explosive devices, right? We all love those.
You could introduce them to your trans kids. They love that.
Oh, absolutely. Make sure you give them their own pride flag for their bedroom, right? Yeah. Hamas and Gazans love pride flags, man. Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine they're supporting LGBTQ just like our LGBTQ is supporting them.
That's right, dude.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious. You don't know who these people are. What is wrong with you?
Now, come on. You got an extra room, right? Just let them shack up for a little bit. Host a family.
Oh, man. There's no way that ends good. There's no way that ends good.
Oh, man. You know, we stopped hearing about all the squatter stuff going on, right? They needed to hide the squatter situations. Bring on the migrants.
Too many people supported Ron DeSantis. They couldn't have that.
That's right.
I'm glad he ended the squatter shit in Florida.
Did you see John Fetterman making waves again this week? He tweeted out this fantastic statement on how it pains him to be agreeing with Ron DeSantis, but he backed and co-signed a bill that had to do with something Ron DeSantis pushed in Florida where they're banning lab-grown meat being fed to kids in the school system.
With every brain cell that returns to that man's head. I mean, I'm probably going to vote for him president in 2028. That guy is...
This guy literally... I was thinking about what you said a while back, which was, you know, John Fetterman didn't take a red pill. He's not, you know, this new... He doesn't have this newfound conservatism in his mind. He's just what the centrist Democrats used to sound like.
He's a guy from a blue collar place. He's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like old steel towns and shit. That guy, he knows what the average person wants. You know, I'll never forget when he was like barely mumbling out, you know, I'm just gonna listen to the constituents. Yeah, that's what all of you are there to do. You're not there to be an Instagram celebrity. You're not there to embezzle money from foreign nations. You're there to represent the people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely know what you mean. And Fetterman, again, I just keep reading more into what he's saying, and it's not right-wing stuff. He's just a guy in the middle, you're right, on the money, blue collar, and he's just saying old concepts that used to always be true. They were fundamentally true. And now he's considered a right-wing nut job, I guess, by all his left-wing lunatic followers.
The left moved so far, so fast, that the guy that became a Democrat, ran as a Democrat 2 years ago, is now right-wing. Extremist.
I don't have anything on the docket for it, but did you see these maniacs doing the Muslim prayer at the campus? In Columbia or whatever, or UCLA, I can't remember where it was. There were these videos. Even Emma saw it on TikTok when I brought it up. But they have these women, and I can only assume people erring on the BLT sandwich spectrum, literally doing the Islamic prayer in the middle of their takeover of the campus.
Good. Let them become Muslims. Let them be. I don't even care. These kids are so stupid. These kids are so dumb. No wonder we have to fucking pay for their student loans. They're too dumb to have actual jobs and pay off their loans.
I was kind of thinking about AI deepfake technology and the flood of all this insane imagery that's coming out through the interwebs from these protests going around. Is it possible some of it's a little bit faked? Maybe the actual thing is occurring, but they're adding more bodies digitally, making it look bigger than it is. Maybe you know, making the situation seem more extreme. Did you see the clip of the giant black lady yelling at the frat bros who start chanting Lizzo at her?
Lizzo, yeah,
And now everybody's all upset because the one guy starts dancing like a monkey and he makes ape noises, which I'm going to say offensive. Yes, I agree. It's a bit of a line crossing, right? We're entering Roseanne territory here.
But they don't even need the AI deepfake anything. It's just camera angles and stuff. I'll never forget when I was downtown during the, it was like 2020, during the Black Lives Matter movement thing. I forgot what building they were protesting outside of, but it was literally more reporters and shit than protesters. It was like 12 unemployed black people outside, like with signs, talking about BLM and all that. I walked right through it with my, like, rotting machine and bucket in hand, you know?
Yeah, yeah, man.
and then later on, I turn on the news, and they show the quick clips. And it's like, it looks like this crowd that's, like, you know, taking over. It's like, it was, like, a couple dozen people, maybe. So, I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. But did you see the assholes who, like, cut out pieces of a fucking garbage can and, like, used them as shields then stormed the cops? And the cops just, like, swatted them down like flies, dude.
Somebody chopped that clip up and put the old-school NFL music over it, and they have, like, the voiceover announcer talking about it like an NFL player, you know, running through the defense and then the defense putting up a stand, and it's in slow motion when the cop knocks out the kid with the garbage can. It's so funny. First of all, you're a group of people who have been consuming soy for the last 10 years, and you're going up against some carnivore meat eaters who literally do, you know, what are those things called? Push-ups and exercises? Right?
Not only that, you have a total just... You don't live in reality. I mean, those cops have guns. So if you keep escalating, we're going to build a shield. Against what? Bow and arrows? I mean, what are you building the shield against? These cops, if they wanted to kill you, they could kill you. You know what I mean? But they're allowing you to just play this LARP, you know? Like,
yes.
You're LARPing at this point. And all I can think is this is exactly why we need to force every fighting age male to join 2 years in the military. Everybody at 18 should have to just go do 2 years in the military. That's just toughen these pussies up, man. You thought that garbage can would work because you're used to wrestling around with your other fag boys at the dorm. You know what I mean? Like, what did you think that was going to stop? What was that going to stop?
It's very funny to watch it unfold, right?
What are you, Mel Gibson? Okay. Seeking revenge for your murdered wife? You know, storming the English army? No, dude. You're a bunch of fags with garbage cans strapped to your arms. Going up against the cops over Hamas?
I know, man.
All right, man. We need to force these people to join the military. That's what we need to do.
Well,
every single one of them.
If they keep supporting Joe Biden and the Democrats, they're going to lead us into World War III, and lo and behold, you will have your draft, and you guys will now have to go actually play war for real. Enjoy.
Oh, God, we're in trouble. Did you see those kids?
Not only that, man, like, I do my morning workout routine kind of in front of the TV in my main room there, and it's usually pretty early in the morning. We're talking, like, between the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock time zone there, and I had it on the local morning news, which I love to watch, and they kind of cut away to their national Fox affiliate or whatever, the mainstream Fox. And this was like 4:15, 4:30 in the morning. They were live showing the cops tearing down the Palestine protest in UCLA. And it was just, they tore with their bare hands, they ripped one board down and then just smoked them out like a bunch of rats, man. It was incredible to watch. And all these soy boy kids just like, no, please, you know, no, don't hurt me. It's like, what do you guys? They gave you the choice. You had the choice to leave. They let you choose, and here you are now. And so you got these cops. They're not even, and they're just shooting.
Well, you got to think, dude. These cops are battle-hardened veterans. They made it through the BLM riots.
I know. These guys,
you know what I mean?
Actual violent riots where their lives were threatened.
Where they were throwing Molotov cocktails at them, burning cop cars. Now they come in to use soy boys and tents.
Like, it's literally, you know, 200 people playing real-life Dungeons & Dragons. It's incredible. It's so funny to watch, man. It's pathetic, by the way. It's so lame. That's what people don't realize. Like, we're laughing at you. You're not revolutionaries. You're not fighting for some cause that we all believe in also. And we're like, thank God they're fighting for this cause so we can live our lives still. No. Get the fuck out of the way, man. You idiots are ruining our lives right now. Actually, I love these people because one of the greatest images to come out of this whole ridiculous debacle are the pro-America, pro-Israel guys, and then the pro-Palestinian retards all in unison chanting, fuck Joe Biden.
I didn't see that.
Oh my God. They start going, fuck Joe Biden, and then the Palestinian people are like, Yeah, fuck Joe Biden. And everyone's like, fuck Joe Biden, man.
You know what? Hey, Joe, you are the great unifier. You said you would be.
He nailed it, man. He's a prophet.
The fags and the frat guys for generations haven't agreed on anything.
Came together.
This is greater than peace in the Middle East.
See, all the Hamas fighters need to do is raise one flag that says FJB. And the world unites.
Pretty soon you're going to see the Saudi prince in a MAGA hat. It's going to be wild.
We're hearing a declaration coming in from the Hamas leaders. Let's go, Brandon. I don't know. Oh, my God. Peace in the Middle East has been declared.
It's the only thing the Jews and the Palestinians have agreed on for thousands of years. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really good stuff. It's really funny. Again, I don't think these young people have anything to get behind. That's the lame part about
it. That's the biggest
problem. You know, they really...
Your life is too good.
Yes.
Your life has been so good. Yes. But you have this angst, this teen angst. You're trying to rebel against something. And so now you're just... I don't even know.
Yeah.
Rebelling against America that gave you the greatest life. You know what I mean?
It's just sad and lame and pathetic. And hopefully it's... keeps going, I guess, because it's ruining everything for Joe Biden and the Democrats. They simply have no answer for how to balance this situation, man.
Yeah, it's really funny to watch.
Absolutely.
That's so funny. I got to see that chant. That's hilarious.
It's been going on around at several of these situations. I had it somewhere, but it was long gone at this point. But either way, I think they are seeing, you know, they're smelling the roses, right? Or the coffee, if you will. They see what's unfolding and that potentially there's a red wave coming in the election.
I've heard that before.
I got the Pod Save Trump boys chatting with a pollster about the RFK effect. And they keep dancing around this. I find this to be super fascinating with how they mess with the numbers, but they're trying really hard to sell this idea that RFK is really damaging for the Trump vote. And it doesn't seem to actually calculate. It kind of seems like RFK would steal the Biden vote.
I think he's going to end up stealing Biden.
Yeah, that's what I think too. But
he's a Democrat. He's a fucking Kennedy. You guys should have let him get the nomination, or at least challenge Biden.
Well, we got PodSave Trump to give us the lowdown on how this is bad news for Trump.
I love this guy. Look at his background. Terrible. You got to have a bathroom. You got to have a.
That's right. You need a Christmas decoration in June.
Rudolph. Come on, man. Get your life together. Jeez.
Like, be professional, bro. What's wrong with this guy?
You don't have a 30-year-old tablecloth? Come on. A wood panel bar? What are you talking about?
And he clearly looks like a guy who moves his microphone around. It's unbelievable. What a joker.
I bet you're not even live streaming from your grandma's basement. What a loser!
All right, here we go. Let's get the lowdown on the RFK effect here.
What is your sense of the sort of threat that RFK Jr. poses to Biden?
Our view in general is that anything that divides the anti-Trump coalition is bad, and that includes RFK. Obviously, we saw the NBC poll, and I hope it's true. Like, I would love to be wrong about this, but our gut is it's super hard to know because polling is a very blunt instrument. We're talking about a tiny group of very idiosyncratic voters in six states.
Very idiosyncratic. In fact, it was 1,000 registered voters on an NBC poll. You know, they really dug deep for these voters, man.
I can't get people to understand these numbers. There's 50 states. So 1,000 people? That's only 20 people per state.
I know, dude.
That's 20 people per state. That's not even one person per county. But think about how many people are in your county.
They just said they're only polling people in the battleground, the like seven or whatever battleground states they have.
Oh.
The six states.
Yeah, but still.
Well,
what is that, 150 per state?
And I'm sure you got a ton of MAGA voters who are going on to the NBC News poll.
Yeah.
All right. Or how many people under the age of 35 were hitting up the NBC poll station online?
Plus, they go into it in a totally different segment where they talk about how, you know, these polls about the third party don't really matter. Because then they start really diving into Joe Biden's numbers, his approval and everything. And then they to help Joe Biden, they're like, you know, once you're actually in the voting booth and you're looking at a choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you're really not going to go for a Kennedy because you don't want to throw away your vote. I was like, yeah. So then why don't you apply that to the 15% of the Trump supporters? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Again, I think when they do these polls, it's either an actual, like, I'm on the site and I'm clicking it, or I think they do these data collection polls, essentially. But either way, you're someone who's engaging with the website. How many people under 35 are hitting up the NBC News website?
How many people even know about it?
No, this is a poll of 1,000 people over the age of 65 in six states of America. Great numbers, man. This is definitely a snapshot of how the American populace is going to vote this November. Right?
Yeah. Dude, I don't care what they say. RFK is going to hurt Joe Biden.
Yes, man. Dude, Biden has no youth support right now. He's lost the black male vote. He's lost the entire Hispanic vote. What's left, man?
And the people who vote for Trump love Trump.
I know, dude.
You're not going to take away those voters with RFK. Joe Biden, I have not met one person who loves Joe Biden.
You know, like Bill Maher has been doing this ongoing joke where he plays the clip of Trump dancing and he talks about how it's him jerking off two guys at the same time.
Two guys, yeah. And which you're supposed to be the party of the LGBTQ. So why is that funny or even an insult jerking off two guys?
Hey.
That's an insult to jerk off two guys? Hey, be you, do you. That's how you love, right?
Well, Mike, and of course, we live in the era of men who have sex with other men.
And how do you know those aren't women penises? He could be he's jerking off two chicks, you know?
The blonde chick's a dude? Oh, man.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Yeah.
Come on, Bill Maher. I thought you were a progressive.
That's right, man. Go with the times, bro. Or lady bro, lady fella.
Just dancing with two beautiful chicks here. You know?
Two beautiful chicks with two enormous dicks, man. Come on. We've all been there.
It's 2024. We're Democrats. It's Joe Biden's economy. Joe Biden's economy. Four more years, we're all going to be jerking off two dicks for a little bit of money. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to have a choice. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I don't think we can handle four more years, man. That's so funny. So speaking of Bill Maher, and I'm done with that one. I think we've proved our point there.
I hate those PodSafe guys. Like, that is me in traffic just hating everything about it, listening to these guys yelling at the radio, you know?
I love the rationale, though, that, you know, RFK is in some way... I mean, should we finish it off, I guess? What do we have left there? It was a quick one.
Yeah, it does.
They're going to rationalize.
Our fear is that there's a lot of people out there, the soft Biden voters that we talked about, who...
And pretty much all Biden voters are soft, right? So just keep that in mind.
May not be very high information voters. They are not paying attention. They're not listening to you guys. They're not reading the paper about politics. And they go into the booth and they think...
They're not listening to you guys, so they're dumb. They're That's just right. dumb. Uninformed.
Yeah, because they're not following state media, right? If they were listening to your propaganda, then they would be informed of what we want them to know.
I mean, they hear 88 counts, but do they know what the 88 counts are? No, that's why they're dumb. They're misinformed. They should be listening to you. Insane.
Like, well, I don't like either Trump or Biden, and here's a Kennedy. How bad could that be? So we got to make sure people know that it's really bad, and that's not a place they can go to park their vote.
Yeah, it's really bad, people. Don't go to Kennedy. Yeah. So you can even tell right there, they're trying to spin it as could be bad for Trump. But really, we need to make sure we are active in convincing the Democrat voter that if you are even entertaining the concept of voting for Kennedy, you could very well be handing the White House to Donald Trump.
And it means you're an ill-informed idiot.
Yes.
Who doesn't watch the proper TV.
So I got down with the Bill Maher on Friday night. It was pretty fantastic. He had Roger Daltrey from The Who on, which was pretty fun. It was a really entertaining little interview. But most spectacularly, he had Kellyanne Conway and then some dweeb from the left who maybe got in one full sentence throughout this entire exchange. He was so representative of the Democratic male, man. It was unbelievable. Just
going up against Kellyanne Conway. I mean, conservative females are more manly than
absolutely, dude.
You know, they're the alphas in that room,
dude. And also Kellyanne Conway, looking good. You know, something about the Republican woman, man. They keep themselves in shape. It's really funny how that's been shaping out that way. But either way, dude, she was dropping some freaking bombs on this show, and it was fantastic to watch. It made it very obvious. That this is the one thing Emma and I focused on the most. Bill Maher is maybe one of the most out-of-touch personalities on television.
I know. Dude, listen to anything he talks about.
Especially with this show, dude. It was unbelievable. He kept trying to bring up with the other dweeb that he had on there how they are flummoxed. They cannot understand why no voters and nobody cares about the Trump trials going on and how this is historic and no president has been held to a criminal trial like this in history. And Kellyanne Conway's like, nobody cares because it doesn't affect their lives. People care about their groceries and how much of the gas costs at the pump. Like, they have serious...
Yes!
And also, they have trannies doing drag shows at their libraries and their kids' schools. Like, they kind of don't want that going on.
Yes!
And Bill Maher's like, that doesn't make any sense, man. I don't feel the effects of Bidenomics. I'm rich. I have a good time every day.
I know.
Unbelievable.
You know what it reminds me of? That one. Remember that clip that went viral a while back where Stephen Colbert was like, I don't care if gas goes up to $17 a gallon. I drive a Tesla. Like, dude, get the fuck out of here. You people are so out of touch. Yeah. Just out of touch with reality, the real everyday person. That's why the only people watching these people are boomers. Because they're also sitting there pretty in their house that they paid $40,000 for. That's now, a million. And they're sitting there like, oh, I don't understand. This inflation has been great for my ass. You know, like, yeah, so the boomers, that's what they live. And then, Bill Maher, come down from the hills once in a while and talk to an everyday man. You know?
Well, instead of your people doing it, go buy some groceries for a change for yourself.
Yeah.
See what it's like to be in line with the regular folk and watch them, struggle with the groceries.
And imagine you're making $40,000 a year. You know what I mean? Not $10 million from HBO or whatever it is.
But how wacky and backwards are these times where you got Bill Maher being out of touch with the common man and Kellyanne Conway, who is 1% elitist. Okay, she is
elite.
But
yes.
Speaking the language of the blue-collar, everyday, average Joe, like, we're in a weird spot, man. You know, you would think that Bill Maher would have a little more, you know, connection to the common man because he's traveling the country and playing, you know, comedy acts, right?
But the problem is they became too much like the Hunger Game elitists. Where Bill Maher and the Democrats are just like, oh, we'll throw them food, throw them bread and a little bit of money, and they'll be happy. That's what they need is a little bit of bread, a little bit of money, you know? And then Kellyanne Conway and the Republicans are like, no, we're going to do tax cuts. Yeah, it's really going to help out our rich buddies. But look at the taxes you're paying, and you're not getting anything for it. So it's not even that she's more in touch with guys like us. It's just our interests are now aligned.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy.
You know?
And while to watch her on there, my interwebs has been fighting me all day with trying to stream directly the Bill Maher clip that I wanted from the HBO Max. I think they're on to my show, man. I've got too many viewers. Either way, I was able to snag a quickie from the old X, formerly known as Twitter. And this will kind of bring home the point a little bit, I feel like, on how, number one, Kellyanne speaking to the people, the common folk. Number two, Bill Maher's crowd in this episode particularly turned on him, man. They were giving applause to Kellyanne Conway, and it was pure silence when the dweeb and Bill Maher were trying to make their points.
Wow. But to be fair, those are liberal men in that crowd. They haven't seen a real woman in a long time.
Wait, you're saying she doesn't have a dick?
Did you want me to follow you off that cliff now or later? I will follow you to the end of the world, woman with no penis. She's skinny, natural color hair, and no dick. Oh my God, where did this angel come from?
There's a new app sweeping Twitter, or I'm sorry, TikTok. Or something. It's a filter. I saw it on the libs of TikTok. And maybe it's an Instagram thing. I can't remember, but it turns you into a leftist.
No!
There's been some funny reveals with that one, man.
Does it just give you blue hair, a bunch of piercings?
Yeah, it's an instant. You get the blue hair, shaves the hair on the side. The rest is blue and pink. And then you get that,
the
nose ring between the septum.
The eyebrow ring.
That's right. Yeah, and probably like some sort of moon tattoo near your temple.
So that everybody could ask you about it, and then you go into a long story about the trauma you experienced.
That's right, dude. This one, it's for all the children lost in Hamas.
This scar, I got that when I charged cops with a garbage can.
I did it for the children of Palestine, bro.
All right,
so Kellyanne Conway, we're going to get this is a nice little clip it's a quickie and it's a goodie, and we get the dweeb that I've been talking about, and you get the Bill Maher not connecting to the common man, and then we get a little Kellyanne dropping some truth bomb action. Big fan. Everybody, if you get the chance, go tune into last night's episode of the Real Time with Bill Maher, and you can watch The Changing Tide in real time.
That's the last election we'll
they
ever
do,
have.
And I've been talking to them, and a lot of undecided voters who don't think very highly of Biden, either because of the age issue or you know, inflation, that sort of thing, are worried that if Trump gets into office, he'll never leave. And there are people on the right pushing. The American Conservative magazine has...
He hasn't conceded the 2020 election yet. What do you mean, how? You make it sound like it's a crazy idea.
No,
he has not conceded the one he did lose.
I'll concede it because it's very obvious who the president is. It's very obvious. Yes. Joe Biden is the president, presiding over 20% increases in gas and groceries, presiding over 22% increases in health care, 36% in car insurance. I mean, people can't afford the natural accoutrements of an adult life, which is why young people have abandoned Biden. Okay. So it's very clear Donald Trump is not the president. Our economy sucks. Okay. The border is open. 8.8 million people came here. That's that's larger than the population of...
That's the last
election. Right, yeah.
Oh, man.
Laying it on thick.
Eating them alive.
Oh, dude. She brought the fisticuffs out in this episode. It was really fun to watch. And again, I thoroughly enjoy the crowd with Bill Maher, and because this is California, right? So these are people who are at ground zero of the woke movement and the, you know, political takeover of having full Democrats kind of reigning over you without any filter.
Plus, I don't understand how you're trying to sell this narrative that he didn't leave peacefully. January 6th. He told the people to stand down. He told them to protest peacefully. And then I don't remember anybody having to storm the White House on January 20th to pull him out. He just left the White House.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Right? It's crazy, but that was 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
I know this sounds nuts, but he hasn't been in the White House since then.
And you know who else protested an election for 4 years? Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? Dude, come on. The guy has done nothing that's any different than other politicians in his shoes. I don't understand how you're going to sell that narrative to people that it's going to be the last election. On the flip side, Joe Biden has used his power with the government to try as hard as he can to get everybody else off the ballot. He is doing everything he can to be the only one on the ballot. That sounds like more of a last election, you know?
Which brings me back to the RFK thing, actually, and I find it so funny that they're trying to insinuate on some level that Trump could be maybe feeling threatened by an RFK presidential run. Trump ain't the one suing in the courtrooms to get RFK off the ballots, man. It's the
in
Biden. It's the Biden administration fighting... They're litigating to get this guy off the ballots.
Trump can't even fight him in court because he's too busy fighting Joe Biden's administration in court.
The Biden administration is taking on every opponent right now in court.
It's the most banana republic thing you can do.
And their number one statement right now is, well, if we let the other guys win, democracy is destroyed. It's over. We've lost democracy.
No, we got to kill the baby to save the baby. You know? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, dude. Well, good times. I'm looking forward to the next several months. We are ticking away at the time bomb that is the election there in November. We're all, I think, kind of getting ready mentally and physically for the October surprise. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I got it on the docket here. I may have to do some kind of impromptu editing on the fly as we roll through it. I don't even know if I can find it, actually. Everybody knows, or at least if you're in the tinfoil hat nut job universe, you recall that Alex Jones prophetically predicted 9/11 about 2 months before it occurred.
crazy.
Nailed it almost to the date and precisely what they were going to do. Well, he's back. And everybody should be concerned. This is the guy who predicted the frogs were gay. Look at our kids who are the frogs. They're gay.
They're gay. No, dude, that he called them crashing into the World Trade Center. That's a crazy clip. That's spooky.
Well, this one spooked me. I watched it in real time on Friday, and he's at it again. And, you know, I don't think he's happy about it, but I got a little bit in the beginning, and then I might have to fast forward to get to the more juicier parts, so you're going to see some real time.
All right, I'm excited for this.
But here we go. The first chunk, this is Alex Jones predicting he's attempting to give like a time frame of when he sees future events unfolding. Here.
They're priming the pump and setting the battle space for the false flags that are going to be committed against black grocery stores, black colleges, black churches. About a month before the election, I'd say about 155 days from now is when I'm guessing, and us putting this out may make them change the battle plan, about 155 days from now. So,
listen to this man.
Wow.
Listen to this man, please. Wow. I'm telling everybody, I implore you, pay attention to what this guy is saying.
Dude, it would make sense, too, to go after, like, black churches and shit, to get back the black vote. You know, you come in hard.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's kind of puts in perspective now what the whole goofball Patriot Front, the boys in the U-Haul, is all about, right?
Oh, dude, I got a story for you about U-Hauls.
Oh, it's 185 days to the election. So about a month out, from the election, about 155 days from now, we'll go into the zone, and black church is going to get hit. Black grocery stores are going to get hit. Black colleges are going to get hit. Then synagogues are going to get blown up, truck bomb. Federal buildings will then get hit, truck bomb. And then civil emergency is going to be declared. Trump is going to be blamed, and they have no intention of even letting us go to the ballots. Now, that's one plan scenario I see. They've got a bunch of others. They got a handful of cards. But the Ace of Spades is the false flag. But they got some wild cards in there as well. So they got some aces. But we've got the royal flush because we understand the battle plan.
All right, so... it's what I love about Alex Jones. He always gives you the other side of where, you know, we can fight this. And I think it's how he covers his grounds because he's a doom and date guy. For me, I love tin foil hat conspiracy nut jobbery, but I don't like dates and doom, you know. But Alex Jones, kind of historically known for nailing his dates and doom, you know, like
yeah.
For the most part. I think he's missed a few.
At the very least, you should just listen to what he has to say. You know what I mean? I'm not saying go buy his book and everything, but at least just listen to what he's saying, you know? Be careful.
So he's going to go now further into detail on what he foresees occurring about 30 days right before the election.
Raise the temperature more. And then... simultaneously, they're going to hit the Jews first. In fact, earlier I was saying they'll probably shoot up some black churches and black universities first. But before they go to full martial law, that's the warm-up. Then, secondly, they will hit the synagogues, at the same time hit federal buildings. And they like truck bombs because that's plausibly deniable and you can't really catch who did it. And then out of that, it won't be called martial law, but it'll be called a civil emergency. Then they'll claim the Russians hit the power grid. and part of the power grid will go down.
And we were just talking about it. Remember, we looked it up, the power grid, there's like three power grids. So this is really genius, right? They knock out maybe a part of the country that could influence the election, right?
Ooh.
You know?
We're going to have a hanging Chad moment.
Yeah, man, but it'll be a hanging grid, you know? Only two. But if two-thirds of the grid is up in the country can still exist and defend itself, but you could also disable the country from a political standpoint.
You're right. Like, all West Coast has power.
Yeah.
It's just Texas lost its
That's
power.
Exact, dude. You're psycho. Like, well, it just happens that the whole Bible Belt in Florida and Texas have no power.
You know, what are you going to do?
Election canceled.
Actually, if you just take out Texas and Florida, that's huge. You know, that might be enough to swing it.
Crazy stuff. Do you want to hear a little bit more? You can see, look at him. He's channeling from some other dimension right now. I love Alex Jones, man. This guy, he's a true believer. You know what I'm saying? He's fighting the real fight and or controlled opposition. Either way, I enjoy the guy. He's very entertaining.
He's right sometimes.
And then they'll claim the Russians have hit the banks. And then they'll tank the economy, claiming it's the Russians that did it and part of the power grid, and you're in full martial law. And then for issues of national security, to get the banks back on, to get the power back on in some areas, to stop the burning cities with the left out just torching everything, Biden, will have to declare a national emergency, and they'll have to crack down on disinformation on all sides.
And I'm hearing a lot of national emergency talk. I've seen some news items float around on the legacy media grid where they are discussing Biden declaring a climate national emergency where he could invoke COVID era like restrictions and rules. And also General Flynn recently has been sounding the alarm that he firmly believes Biden is going to declare some sort of national emergency in regards to like civil unrest that might be happening because of the Palestinian situation.
I don't think he could do that. I don't think he'll get away with it, you know?
Well, we said it was unconstitutional and illegal to just blanket forgive student loans. And here we are, man. Billions of dollars later, here we are.
Yeah, I know.
So Alex Jones now, he's going to get really dark with this prediction. And this is kind of why I wanted to play this clip ultimately, because he's going to get very specific with how they're going to carry this out.
And they'll turn off the funding to Hamas and turn off the funding to their minions and turn off the funding to Black Lives Matter. And they'll turn off all the little nationalist patriot front that are clearly feds that are wound up running around. And then all those guys that are being used, they'll be shut down again, but later brought back when they're needed. But in the wake of that, the people exposing all of this, the folks trying to stop it, the Tucker Carlson's, the Alex Joneses, they will be taken off the air. And I don't say this to be dramatic. When they go to full martial law, there's a very good chance they're going to go ahead and kill Trump. And I would predict the same day they kill Trump, they'll probably kill Senator Paul or try. They'll kill Matt Gaetz. They'll try to kill me, and they'll go ahead because they know Joe's awakening, or they're going to go ahead and kill Joe Rogan.
Whoa!
Yeah, what, man? Yeah! I told you, I didn't see that one coming, man. He went full Joe Rogan. It's crazy. Oh, boy.
Poor Joe.
I know. He didn't mean any of this. Yeah, I
know. Comedian, you know?
If they take out Joe Rogan, this is the official sign-off of the Dude Man Podcast, folks.
Yeah.
It was fun while it lasted. We're gone, man.
Apologize for everything I said about the Jews.
And Hiroshima to our Chinese overlords.
Oh!
We so sorry!
Welcome. Yeah, that's
right,
a scary
man.
Prediction. You know what I was thinking, though, when he said that? He just throws it out there like it's knowledge. Everybody knows Patriot Front is the Fed. You never see any videos come out where the guy's like, I'm the leader of Patriot Front. We are not the Fed. we are, right. You know what I mean? Yes. You never see a rebuttal to it. So that's how you know it's true.
And you haven't seen any of them on, like, Tucker's show or, you know, they don't go on Joe Rogan. Has Joe Rogan right. had, you know, like...
Yeah, oh, Tucker, at least, you know?
Who are they, man? Like, who? Nobody knows who these guys are.
Yeah, like, not even go on TV with your mask on? No, because somebody would recognize you and then reveal the fact that you're a Fed.
Well, then what's the deal with the U-Haul?
I don't know, dude, but it's so funny. These guys, these guys I work with, they were working at the school. It's on the west side where there's, like, an alley. You, like, the parking lot is in an alley, kind of. And then there's, like, an apartment complex back there. And I guess they were outside getting their tools. All of a sudden, this U-Haul truck comes, like, ripping in, flips a U-E at the end. There's, like, a park right there. Flips a U-E at the end. And then reverses all the way to the fucking apartment complex where there's, you know, there's guys doing their thing out there. Probably selling drugs or whatever. Yeah. They're watching the corner. The back door flies open, and these guys just start unloading. There's a bunch of guys in the back of the U-Haul with guns. They just start unloading on these fucking apartment complexes. And then the guys in the complex, they all start shooting back at the U-Haul. So, like, the guys I work with, the engineers and everybody that were outside, everybody, like, had to run into the school for cover. And I'm like, oh, man. This has got to be on the news. This has got to be on the news. I mean, 10 white guys in suits that are clearly feds get out of a U-Haul and walk down Nashville, Tennessee. That's on the news for 3 days. It's 3 days of news. This is a group of gang members that rented a U-Haul and just shot up right outside of a school. They just shot the shit out of this apartment complex. Nothing. Nothing on the news. Won't even talk about it.
Wow. So feds, man, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's how you know it's orchestrated, you know? Not even a video. I mean, Patriot Front walks down Nashville. It just happened to be Tashiki Senator guy is outside filming a documentary or whatever it was, you know? Come on!
All right, man. That's incredible. Yeah, I didn't hear about it. That's an
Nobody
insane
did.
Story, man.
Nobody did. 'Cause 10 white guys in khakis is a story. But this U-Haul or guy, I mean, that's a fucking assault.
And it's funny, you know? Because so much happens in a city. I was actually reflecting earlier on the protests going on in the campuses. We have our own situation unfolding here in Denver, in all our campuses, right? And they tried making a big deal out of it on the news. And, you know, a lot of our retarded Gen Z representatives like Tim Hernandez are, you know, marching with these people, and they're all pro Hamas and all this stuff, and how there's a revolution happening, and you know everybody's a part of this change or whatever's going on. You know, and one of the major protests where I guess there were like arrests and there was a big deal, and even Mayor Johnston showed up. It was kind of by where I work. I didn't hear a thing. I went to work that day, did my normal routine, had my lunch, like everything. Not a thing was different about my day. Yet apparently a revolution was taking place like 2 miles down the road. Right.
And we're going to end the show just how we started it. Frank, that is white privilege.
Yeah.
You are. Man. You are the elitist eating and sipping your fancy drinks there. And
let me smoke my elitist cannabis. Yeah.
Drinking a craft beer with, you know, pinky out.
Whatever do you mean, sir?
Protest? Merely shoot the protesters. And don't bother me again.
Can't you see I'm eating my turkey sandwich here? Please don't bother me.
You are now the oppressor.
It's incredible.
Sitting
man.
There, yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. I go for my jog on my lunch. I'm suntanning, eating my sandwich by the river. I'm reading the news there. What do you mean? What revolution? The fuck you people talking about over here?
That's what people don't understand. That's why the whole protest Palestine. It's not going to swing an election because it doesn't. This isn't Vietnam. This isn't affecting anybody. Nobody,
right.
You know what I mean?
They didn't spin a wheel, you. And then my kid now is off to a death sentence in, you know, some country right. I never heard of, right? Like, that ain't happening. So I don't really care too much about what's going on over there in Gaza.
Yeah, Yeah, Hamas, Palestinians are killing Jews. Jews are killing Palestinians. Oh my God! Who would have thought? Oh my God! You mean the same thing that's been happening for thousands of years in the Middle East is happening in the Middle East? Oh my God!
Not only that, Google Yom Kippur War. This battle right now is like the fifth time it's happened in less than 100 years.
I know. Dude, we talked about it a couple episodes ago when I looked it up. The Jews were kicked out of that land by the Roman Empire. This goes back to the Roman Empire. Come on. What do you...
I know. Give it up. And did you see those losers doing the hunger strike? All right, good luck with that.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
I'll see you in line at Chick-fil-A in like 2 weeks. I guarantee it.
You think those Palestinians would hunger strike for you? Colombian stew?